issues that come up. And the things we'll discuss today are lifelong, we'd call them struggles, but lifelong things that one has to continuously work on and try to figure out different approaches that work for every couple. As I asked the speaker, sometimes the issues that come up between children and in-laws. So some ideas that come to mind in this regard, very often with a young couple, the the chassan is concerned about that his wife is in what seems to the chassan to be a very strong and sometimes demanding relationship with the kala's mother. Sometimes chassanim get upset when they see when the kala speaks to the mother every day, twice a day, four times a day. So these things I think a chassan has to get used to. It's sometimes men don't have the same kind of relationship with their parents as women have with their parents. And for the most part, there can be a situation where a relationship is damaging. But for the most part, the Baruch Hashem are in a door where the daughters' relationships with their mothers is often very, very strong. And if they speak several times a day, that's all within the normal range. And sometimes when the chassanim when the young men are concerned about it, so it's really more that the young men are either somewhat insecure. They would want to have that their wives share everything with them, and not with the mother. But I don't see any reason why a person should think in those terms. Over time, the relation becomes the person, chassan and kala, have greater security in their own relationships, and the chassan doesn't see it as something which is in any way threatening. It's not, sometimes it's an ego issue of the chassan. So one has to look at it in those terms. The reason why it's bothering me is not because something should bother me, it's because I feel that she should be discussing these things with me, not with her mother. So again, I think a chassan should change his orientation and appreciate that this is a normal thing in our door, that daughters have good relations with their mother, and not to be discouraging of it at all for Karet. It's encouraging, it's a healthy thing, it's a healthy relationship, and to be encouraging of it. If one's mother, if the conversations between the mother and the daughter are critical of the husband, something else. If the mother is continuously telling the daughter that the husband should stop learning and should go to work, should get a better job, so obviously that's not the healthy thing. And if every time the daughter finishes the conversation with the mother, she's aggravated and upset, obviously that's not healthy, and one has to deal with it. But a situation where after the conversation, the daughter feels good, she's happy, the mother feels good, so we care. So that gives the husband more time to learn. So it's a plus. It's not a minus. Again, that's what I would think. That's a healthy thing. It's a good orientation to have those kind of relationships going forward. That's good for the family. It'll be good for the grandchildren of Yirtzeh Hashem. Sometimes the relationships between children-in-law and parents-in-law, certainly the beginning of marriage, become somewhat tender and strained, and very often it's just because people don't realize that they are used to, they've set up a certain way of communicating with their own parents, and they have certain ways of thinking with their own parents, and they have certain nuances that they pick up from each other, and the in-laws are different. And I have to get used to the idea that not everybody relates and talks and thinks in the same way. Not everybody double thinks in the same way. Sometimes one has a relationship with a parent where the way that one says is the way that it's heard. And sometimes you have relationships that are not like that. You have relationships where the way that you say it is processed through different ways, different ideas, different channels, and then the result was being perceived as not what you originally had to say. So sometimes a child you have different situations. Sometimes especially with men. Men are often very, very guarded what they say to their parents sometimes, because when they were growing up, they said during the adolescent years, they realized they said certain things and it was processed wildly differently. So then the approach of men is, all right, then you don't have to talk so much, right? So if you see the talking gets me into trouble, say talk less, all right? And women are not like that. Women are very rarely like that. Women usually try to figure it out to make sure that things really work and will not clamp down, so to speak. So sometimes you go into a relationship, so you begin to relate to your in-laws in the same way you relate to your parents. Your parents are on a need-to-know basis. But your in-laws, they have a different style. Often happens if one set is in my time, if one set was European or one set was American, they have different relationships. So that's important to keep in mind, that you have to realize that the way that you're communicating to your parents may not be the most effective way to communicate your in-laws. It could be the other way around. It could be your parents are very open, understanding, and your in-laws are very cautious and very and looking for nuances and very mistrusting. Could be. So Lanias Daiti, the best way to work out these situations is that is at least in the first stage of marriage, and the first stage may last several years, is that that each child in figures out the issues with their parents. In other words, that I'm the Bala boss over communicating, not necessarily communicating, but figuring out if there's an issue, if something has to be discussed, if there's if different things come up, where to go for Yom Tif, how do you go to Yom Tif, what to do, what the plan's going to be. So usually it's a good idea for the chosan to figure out things on his parents' side, and the kala figure things on her parents' side, and then for the chosan and kala, for the husband and wife to move together, kibosar echon. It's always important, and this is, I think, a yesod, that the husband and wife always have to be on the same wavelength. They have to figure out the set what they're going to do together, and each child has to defend their spouse to their parents. That's that I think is elemental. And however, exactly how I defend my wife to my parents is up to me, and how she defends me to her parents up to her, because she'll know the best way to defend, and I'll know the best way to defend to my parents. And that usually works out for the first phase. After the first stage, sometimes then each child figures out their in-law in a good way, and they go weiter. Sometimes the wife becomes more insightful, more understanding of the way the different parents work. Very often, the parents become more trusting of their child-in-law. But initially, in the first stage, if it works and it's working well, you can keep it that way. But I think that's an important a son may not appreciate what offends his wife's parents, and a wife may appreciate what offends the husband's parents. So that should be exactly how to visit, when to visit, how to conclude a visit, when to conclude a visit. All of these things sometimes can become offensive only because people have been raising children for 20, 25 years. And they have certain styles, so you have to figure out the styles of each parent. It's sometimes unfortunate when a simple issue of style becomes a source of tenderness and of tension. Accepting things from one's parents, accepting gifts from one's parents, money from one's parents. So, again, the doors have changed. And the present door. So Baruch Hashem, many, many parents are in the position to help their children. Now, sometimes children have to decide. Every parent has different approaches. Sometimes the gifts are unconditional. Sometimes they're very conditional. Sometimes when they're conditional, it's very rarely spoken about. But a deal's a deal. In other words, if a parent is giving a gift, is supporting a child, and expects a certain amount of time that the children spend with the parents. All right, so then that's part of the deal, whether it's spoken or unspoken. Hopefully, parents are smart and they don't do that. Probably, parents do not based expectations based on how they help the children. Again, they're different doros and they're different personalities. Sometimes children are not open to accepting from parents because they're afraid of the obligations that will ensue. All right, that's have to make a cheshbon. Sometimes children are uncomfortable taking from parents because the children are proud. In general, pride is a good thing, and in general, pride is pride of wanting to support one's own family is a healthy thing. Again, but we're in a door right now where things are a little bit different. We're in a door where sometimes it'll be the difference of whether you can learn for an extra period of time. So then that's of such great value that one should swallow one's pride, I believe, in this kind of situation. And furthermore, I think that we're in a door where parents, even parents who all the while they're raising their children and saying that they believe children should be independent once they get married, aval pike, and I've seen that the majority of the time is that parents, if parents are able to help their children out, they're happy to help with their children. If they can keep, they can make life easier for their kids, they're happy to. If it means that the parent will take one less vacation, they do it b'simcha. A child has to know. If it means that the parents are actually suffering, of course, then a child has to, cannot take from the parent. But again, I think we're in a door where I see it more and more that when it comes to the day after the chasana, parents are very, very happy. Parents sometimes will tell children that they think that they shouldn't have another child, because it's going to be hard for them. Again, you have to always figure things out, see what the emes is. But when a parent is able to help, so then it's done b'simcha and should be. And I think a child should feel comfortable in this door that the parents are very happy to do so. One of the other areas that I was asked to discuss some ideas is how to balance one's obligations towards one's wife and one's obligations to Talmud Torah. This depends very much on one's stage of life. So in the stage where one is Baruch Hashem learning in Kolo, so I think that the it's important to see one's, as I think is the culture in our yeshiva, is to see the obligations towards the kolel as being like a job. That's a person is employed, so one is expected to be, one is getting paid for a certain amount of input, for a certain amount of effort, and not only effort, but to be at a certain place at a certain time. So I think that's the culture of our yeshiva, that the storim are storim, and that's what one's getting paid for, in order to keep the site. And that is something that I think one's spouse will understand and appreciate, and will be helpful in maintaining those storim. On the other hand, the Seder al-Limud, I don't think is more of a machayv than the Seder of Talmud Torah. So the din of Talmud Torah, mefshal sosayde, im efshal sosayde echerim, it's doicha. If my wife has a certain pressing need, so usually it's efshal sosayde echerim. My wife needs something to be done. So usually, if it's somebody else will do it, that might create a discomfort in our relationship in the shalom bayis. So it's almost always that if my wife needs something, she needs something to be done with the children, it's usually Iyev Shal Sosadei Echerim. So Al Pidin, it'll usually be Doiche Talmud Torah. Usually. On the other hand, if a person will allow himself to always take off time from the Seder following this rule, so one may be keeping one's obligations towards the kolel, towards Talmud Torah, but will not become accomplished in one's learning. So there's an extra concern beyond the requirements of the din, and that is, what are we going to do to make sure that we have that these years, and that we establish this for years to come, that we have siddurim, that a person will grow, So grow in learning. So I think that things to keep in mind is that I think it's a balance. So one has to, the two areas one has to give a lot of thought to. One area is towards one's learning. Keim chayenu. One has to really inculcate in one's own mind and identify with the idea keim chayenu. And that requires being consistently engaged in learning. It means that to really minimize as much as to minimize batola. If one's wife sees that her husband is committed to kihem chayenu, and he doesn't, he battles. One has to. There are reasons to battle, but over and beyond the requirements of. One has to battle sometimes because when sometimes needs a break. One has to battle in order to be physically fit to exercise. One has to battle, but beyond that, one may have to battle in order to be current to read a newspaper. But the very but otherwise, besides spending time with one's wife and one's family and exercising, and being somewhat current, all right. So somebody may individuals are different. They may have a certain need to pursue something else, but it should be very, very limited. So if one's wife sees that one is consistent, once he doesn't, one's not spending a lot of time or any time at all, let's say surfing the web or something, different kinds of beetle or reading novels or something. One's just doing. One's life is centered around accomplishing what's most in learning, so I think one's wife will buy into the program. I think it's the same thing with the series with which we engage Talmud Torah. If we engage Talmud Torah with a series, we have a plan. We want to, when wife knows the plan, we want to accomplish Cheskos HaBotim, we want to have to accomplish Tairovis and the Vosim Cholim. She knows the plan. In other words, in her mind, there's a curriculum. It's good, that's healthy for people who are learning as well. And the wife sees the husband is taking notes and the husband is reviewing. These are the things that college is mechayev. Hill is mechayev aniyim, mechayev ashirim. College is mechayev to learn with a seder. College is mechayev. We know how one is supposed to, how one studies things when one has to know something. So that's the mechayev in learning. So if one's wife sees that the husband takes the learning just as seriously as she took her college. The things that she had to study for her for profession, so then that'll also there's a plan and there's chazara and one writes notes and one holds oneself responsible for the material. There are different approaches as to what works best in one's life. There are some have the approach of kviyas itim and some have the approach of kviyas darim. What I mean is the following. Some, and it depends on how you function better. Some have the approach that the best, that one will be most productive if one is kevei astarim and one does not, and those are as non-negotiable as possible. One's wife needs something to be done, as much as possible to do it, bein astarim. There's another approach where people, they function very, very well and they accomplish well. Lab dafka that they have to be in the same place at the same time, the same chavrusa from 9 to 12, from 3 to 6:30, but they have three starim a day, and they will function just as well if they'll take care of something, and the seder will begin at when to keep the yeshiva sedarim, but let's say one would have to rearrange something, it'd be with Rav Shechter's permission, or it's during its bein hazmanim or something. For whatever reason, or it's after when it's not in the formal siddur of the yeshiva, and one will function just as well if one begins one's morning seder and goes from 10 from 9 to 12, or go from 10 to 1, 10 to 2. In other words, he knows that he will learn just as well if he will tinker with the times, so it will keep the same siddur. Right? He'll have a night seder, so. Instead of having the night seder from 8 to 11 or whatever, from 8 to 10, so he'll have it from 9 to 11. Maybe he'll have it from 10 to 12 if he's still fresh at that hour. Maybe he will do just as well by having his night seder if in the morning from 6 to 8 in the morning. In other words, there are people who function differently. So you have to know how you function. If you can function just as well by moving your storm around, but by having Sedorm Kavuim, so then that's a way that one can accommodate well one's learning and one's requirements. On the other hand, if a person doesn't do it well that way, he does much better as what the halacha seems to be kaveitim, to be kavei zmanim. So then one loses that flexibility. One has to schedule in to use one's bein hasdarim in productive ways. In general, it's kedai for a person to have different, we all have lemaisa different projects when it comes to learning. We have our Seder Rishon, our Seder Sheni, then we have Shteinbeck Vechatargum, we probably have some kind of halacha Seder, we probably have some kind of maybe a Machshava Seder, whatever, learning Tanakh, whatever. So in one's own mind, one knows that one's Cheskes Abatim is going to require a full Seder. Yesh Neichlin can possibly require a full Seder. But Shteinbeck Vechatargum can sometimes be learned on the fly. That's sometimes be learned with a, you can a 10-minute Seder, 20-minute Seder. Sometimes people leave it for Shabbos. That's the kind of thing that if one has in one's mind that they have these little blocks, these little sedarim, Mishnayos, Chumash. So those are things that one can pick up when there's a lag time, so to speak. When you're home and you have 20 minutes before you're going to go with your wife someplace, or when you, let's say you're going out with your wife, or you're going shopping with your wife or something, so you can use these short blocks of time if you're organized in your mind. You say, I have these other smaller siddharmas, so to speak, so you can often accomplish a lot and often yields great yeshiva das. Because let's say you're waiting for your wife to take care of something, so if you feel like you have nothing to do, so it's dead time, so you get aggravated. But if it's the dead time, it's a Shteinbeck Vechatargum time, it's a Mishnah time, you have a Mishnah, you have a Halacha, Mishnah Berurah. So usually one will be able to, your wife wants to go shopping, so you're waiting for her. So Gvaldik, so you have a Sefer with you. So it's not dead time, it's not lost time, it's a very productive time. So that can yield a lot of yeshiva das. At the same time, when one is trying to figure out, we have obligations towards our wives, towards having very rich and productive relationships, and as we mentioned last time we met, that one of the obligations of the husband is to be mesameach his wife and to keep her happy. So I think that if one tries to be, extend oneself to be a very good husband, then in those situations the wife very much wants her husband to be happy. So one can, so that's why one's learning will benefit tremendously if the husband also figures out ways in which he will can be mesamech his wife and can attend to his wife. So one thing which is very important for marriage b'chalal, and certainly for most women, is that the wife feels, and this is an important in principle, not just to service one's wife, that your husband, that you're thinking about your wife. That you know hesach hadas from your wife. So that, nowadays, that's the power of a cell phone, that's the power of a text message. During the course of the day, bein hasdarim, your chavrus is taking a phone call, whatever it is, you have 5 minutes, your mind is wandering, so you can pick up the phone and text your wife, and she knows you're thinking about her. That is that gives a tremendous pleasure. If one can anticipate one's wife's needs, b'derech klal, gadol eina mitzuv yoseh. When it comes to human relationships, right? The chiddush is, but the Rebbeinu Shlomo is gadol mitzuv yoseh. But that's the chiddush. Teshuvah has to explain why that's so. That means that outside of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, gadol eina mitzuv yoseh. That means that if your wife will feel that you're anticipating her needs, that you're not waiting to be mitzuvah to take care of things. Also, that goes to if you can pamper your wives, that's a tremendous thing. Number one is that our wives are under much more stress than previous daris. That all your wives are either pursuing a parnasa or training for a parnasa. They're all balancing a parnasa with raising the children. And having to do all of that, and they all want to be good wives, and they're all in a culture where it's not that don't even have the luxury of being able to complain about it. Their training is, the mussar is, that this is what they're supposed to be doing. So so that's very, very hard on the women. If they'd be in a culture where they'd be seen as being superwomen by trying to have children and raise children and do a parnos and have husbands learning, fine. But that's not the culture. The culture is l'chachna itzar. So that even takes away, that means they can't feel, they feel if they're complaining, they feel that they're lesser people. They're under tremendous stress. And people I respect in various professions have mentioned this to me as well, that our wives, our little group of, whether it's YU or whether it's Bechlau, women whose husbands are learning, and then going weiter when husbands have to maintain serious sedarim later on in life. So we have to appreciate that their stress is greater than previous dairies. So it means to encourage one's wife to be explicit about the things that are important for her that you should take care of. That's number one. To encourage her to express herself, and that sometimes a woman feels uncomfortable, but you have to encourage your wives. And that way, if you know in advance, if you know Mitzvah Shabbos, then during the week, if you know in the morning when they get taken care of, then you can plan it around the storm. You can take care of it when they, for whatever reason, you're not learning right then, for whatever reason. At the same time, if you can anticipate what your wife would need and take care of it in advance, so that again will give her a greater simcha, and as a result, she will be again much happier and take greater simcha in providing you with the time that you need to learn. If she understands there's a plan, you have a goal to finish a certain amount of Vava Basra. She understands that. If you include her a little bit in the kind of lima that you're doing, so that I think for different women, different approaches, but that can be very, very helpful. And then finally, is that people need a certain amount of downtime. If a person doesn't need downtime, that means he's not learning with his full koiches. So if a person is learning with his full koiches, he needs a little bit of downtime. So that downtime can be husband and wife spending together. So then that'll again go a long way in balancing the requirements of learning and growing and learning and of having a healthy and a rich family life. So there are a lot of things that are important to battle together, so with your wives. Dr. Abram Twersky is fond of quoting a study that families that have mealtime together, so they down the road, this is when you have children and older children, would probably make sense with you and your wife as well. You have to eat and she has to eat. So that's a time to do things together. Sometimes there's requirements of doing paperwork. So if you can take care of it sort of at a time which is layim b'laylaila, it's gewaldic. But if it's stuff that has to be taken care of, it takes more time. So even if you and your wife are doing different paperwork at the same table, your wife will see that it's spending time together. And if the person has to exercise, so if you take walks together, these are all things that you have to do if you do them with your wives. So then you're getting sort of, you're making the time much more productive because you're doing something. It's also important, and this is nothing that easy, but it's important, if you can, when there is going to be batola time together with your wives, if there's going to be, you're going to go out with your wives, so if you can plan ahead, so that it's a time which is gives a lot of hanah, so then that's also very valuable. Just a matter of thinking ahead. There's going to be time you're going to be spending together to think about the way that's going to be most productive. It should be most productive in terms of you're engaging each other. So then you're being much more productive for the time that you're not learning. So I don't know if there's any overall yesod that puts everything together. There's certain requirements of life which are ongoing challenges to balance them appropriately. Just like in yeshivas, how much l'mbikiyas, how much l'mbi'iyah, and how fast, how slow. So these are ongoing things people work out over Lamichas Yomim V'Shanim. The same thing with the with balancing learning, not talking about the chiv of Talmud Torah. The learning that's going to be required so that a person should be an accomplished Talmud Chacham. There's a balance of how much to learn in one's house, how much to learn in the base of Medrash. The person has to see where they're more productive. Even if they're tremendously more productive in the base of Medrash, I think it's very worthwhile to be kaveh some time at home. Number one, ultimately the children should see the father learning. Number two is that the Gemara says, I think it's Zohar that says that kol bayis she'ein kol Torah nishmas v'layla. So that means it's important that there should be a kol Torah in one's own home. The Gemara in Brachi says that when one davens in a mokum tefillah, so the walls have absorbed the shiros of previous davening. That's a schus for the future davening. So probably the same thing is true for one's home. That's part of establishing a home that is geared towards the primacy and the importance of Talmud Torah. So I think that one should try to work on it, that one's home is a place where one can also be kevei a serious seder, so that it'll be beneficial for one's home, and I think it'll be beneficial for down the road for establishing the primacy of Talmud Torah through one's home. But again, these are things that people work on. So what I've had in mind is that these are various etzes that one can pick and choose from, and one can think about, and have other ideas. But I don't know if there's any basic yesod that works for even for any one family. I think that if a person does everything they can do to accomplish in learning, and does everything they can do in order to be a good husband to their wives, and understand and appreciate the pressures that they're under, so somehow Kadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that all ones of Shtadlus will accomplish well. So he's asked to discuss issues of intimacy. So in Yirat Hashem, 2 weeks, right? Where is the 2 weeks around the same time? Yeah.
Signing without any time.
Right. Okay. Good.